Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
And so the legend of Patrick Beverley is no more.
Williams the ball on the right side. Can't argue with that. Blocked by Iguodala. He roofed him. Here comes Draymond Green. Hustles down the far side all the way up over Gallinari. No good. Tip on the rim. Good and a foul. Kevin Durant flying high and going off balance with the rebound bucket. And he's got a chance for a three-point play.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm feeling like this is going to be a fun show as the Golden State Warriors absolutely motorboat. That's right. You heard us correctly. That's how we pronounce it on this program. Motorboat. The Los Angeles Clippers by a final score of 132-105 to take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4, Sunday, 12:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Friday. It is great to have you with us. Your guest for today, John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game reporter, is in Los Angeles. He's going to join us at 6:30. Gary St. Jean at 8:30. Tim Roy at 9:35. Woo! Can rest easy. We can go back to being unbelievably arrogant.
Yes. The boating was predicted and the boating took place. And I think you said it perfectly off the top, Joe. That's pretty much all for Patrick Beverley and his role as annoyance, his role as a gnat. Y'all knew who Kevin Durant is, and you saw it yesterday, Lo, the way he came out and just absolutely took it to him from the jump. First trip down the floor, yak him. Second trip down, jars. 5 for 5 in the quarter, a complete domination from the maestro Kevin Durant.
Let me introduce myself. My name is KD.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was going through the hole. He was just doing what he needed to do. It was what you expected. Is this a surprise? No. Clippers got lucky. Everyone said we're homers. Came on. Oh, no. They got lucky. And you saw the way the Warriors had a meltdown, didn't play great, fell asleep at the wheel. And last night, they're like, same pretty much score, Joe. That's first half, 73. First half, the first game, second, the game they lost, I think they had 72.
So the game they lost on Monday, they blew. They had a 31-point lead with 19:31 to go in the game.
Right.
Last night, they had a 31-point lead with 19:10 to go in the game.
Right.
It was damn crazy. Near same scenario.
And even at halftime, I think they had scored in the first game 72. Last night, they scored 73 in the first half. So it was so many of the same parallels in the same situations. Now a team just said, you know what? I'm going to keep playing. I'm going to keep my foot on the gas pedal, and I'm going to motorboat you.
You know what the problem has been with the Durant situation? And I'm not saying the problem with Durant. I'm saying with the situation. It's what I like to call rich guy ignorance. Rich guy ignorance. How many rich guys, and Lo, I'm sure you've come across several of them. You are one yourself. It's a very, very great place to be in. Oh, really? Mr. Parlays?
That's little money.
Business is good.
We're going to Europe, baby. We're going to Europe.
This guy's hitting everything.
Yeah, I know. He's running hot.
But I digest, as we like to say on the program. Rich guy ignorance. How many really, really rich guys out there have really nice sports cars? The Ferrari, the McLaren, the Lamborghini. The problem with the rich guy sports car is that he keeps it in the garage and he brings it out a few times a year and he jumps on 880 or whatever and sits in traffic like the rest of us, maybe gets that thing up to about 75 mile an hour, drives it around, looks good, feels good, parks it, and eventually, a few months in, it's going to need some significant maintenance. And he's going to talk about how much this car is costing him, the overhead. It's more of a problem and a headache than it's worth. Those cars are not designed to drive up and down 880 at 45 mile an hour. Those cars are designed to get up to 180 and 200. That's what they are built for. If you own that car and you aren't taking it to a racetrack, you aren't using that car properly. Now, if you want to go out and you're single and you're trying to pick people up and all that good stuff, that's fine. That car looks real good for it. But from a performance standpoint, those cars are designed and built specifically to go as fast as humanly possible. So if you're only going 60 in those things, that car is not going to respond well. It is eventually going to break down because it's not being used for its intended purpose. That is the situation with Kevin Durant heading into Game 3. It was rich guy ignorance. They had this beautiful Ferrari. It was only taking 8 shots. Life was good. You know, you're out there. You're picking up the girls. Everyone's happy. The car looks flashy. You're getting your attention. You get that ego boost. But you weren't utilizing it the way it was designed to be utilized. And in Game 3, they took the Ferrari out to the racetrack. They paid for the hour. And they took that thing up to 200 mile an hour. And that is what you saw in Game 3. And when he's at 200 mile an hour, there's no stopping him. He's Lewis Hamilton in F1, to get yet another F1 reference into this program, because suddenly I'm like this huge fan of Formula 1.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, but I enjoy watching it.
And when you have a car of that caliber and you're able to put it out on the racetrack, and Kevin Durant in this case is the one deciding to drive it, when he decides that he wants to go out there and do what he does, you're right, Joe, there is no answer. It makes you wonder, Game 2, what happened? Or why do these things happen where he just decides some nights to keep it in second gear, and then last night you obviously saw the whole team wanting to urge him on. Andrew Bogut throwing in the ball, even when he airballed the three, clapping at him to go ahead and keep shooting it. They need KD in that mode if they're really going to be a championship team.
If you have a personal chef, if you have that much money, right, you have a personal chef who can make you anything you want every single meal, morning, noon, night. Eventually, at some point, you still are going to have In-N-Out Burger. And people are going to look at you and be like, why would you have In-N-Out Burger? You've got a ton of money. You got this personal chef. You can eat healthy. You can eat wonderful. I just, you know, it was a lapse. I wanted In-N-Out Burger. That's what happens with some of these games. I think they know deep in their heart with most of these series, most of these situations, it really doesn't matter. There is no do or die for them. Now, there was last year against Houston, and they understand in the next round against Houston, the stakes are going to be raised. I think in the back of their mind, they look at the Clippers. They know they're better. They know when they turn it on, no one can stop them, because yet again, last night, they decided we're going to turn it on. And look what happened. It wasn't just a 4-point win that came down to the wire. That game was over as soon as it started. Listen to this series. They outscored the Clippers by 17 in the first quarter last night. Through the first three games of this series, they are plus 34 in the first quarter.
Wow.
This is a playoff series. They're beating the opposition by more than 11 points per first quarter, right? In the first half, they beat them last night by 21 points. Plus 57 in the first half through three games. There's a 19-minute stretch where the Clippers played well, but outside of that, the Warriors have been destroying them.
Joe, when you go in the morning and you sit down to take your morning constitution, after you're done, you flush, and you always usually work.
Let him go.
Very rarely, when doesn't it work? But if you think about the differences, KD, all these guys, the difference is they're not toilets. They're not a gas pump. They're not the water faucets that you turn on in the morning to go get a drink of water. And usually the faucet, always water comes out. They're human. You're going to have games where guys up, down, no matter what. You read off some stats yesterday about Michael Jordan shooting 15 and making only 2. People probably, what happened to Michael? He's cold. Was he not focused? What's going on?
Got
to
trade him.
Exactly. Trade the great one. They're not toilets. They're not water faucets. They're at times, when they're on.
Not sure how I feel about all this.
I'm not either, Coach.
I'm not sure how I feel about this analogy. I was really excited about the sports car analogy.
He was good.
Had that one written down, thought it was apropos. Then we got to the toilet analogy. Well, you just suddenly feeling like my analogy's been spoiled a little bit.
We went personal chef first, and then after you eat from the personal chef, it makes perfect sense that you would go to the morning constitutional.
And so we digest.
Yes, thank you.
Exactly. If someone only caught 30 seconds of that and they just heard, these guys aren't toilets, like that, there is no way to put that into context for any human being anywhere on the planet. You guys don't understand. They crushed the Clippers. These guys are not toilets. Okay?
Makes perfect sense.
Does it?
Yeah, does it?
Everyone knows. It's just.
Give me the interpretation.
It's basically, you know, we take some things for granted. You've got Kevin Durant, and he's like basically your commode at home when you go there and you're expecting a certain level of performance each and every time. But at times, it's not going to work. And maybe it's going to be clogged up because one of the people who you live with uses too much toilet paper. So then you got to get the plunger. And in this case, you blew a 31-point lead, and there was water all over the bathroom floor.
Oh, I hate that.
So then you had to get the mop as well. So you plunger, mop, and the next time when you go to use it, your morning constitutional, luckily, things are back to normal. He goes 5 for 5 in the first quarter, and everything flows great. And scene. I'm with you, Lo.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that.
Same bathroom, different stall.
Okay.
No sitting
See,
on
this
laps
is
there.
What happens when you do not script a show word for word. It's great to have you with us, if you're still out there. I'd imagine there's a few family members that are still listening. Outside of that, I can't imagine
great
we have
point,
a whole
Lo.
Lot of other people out
great.
There.
On yeah, the okay. text line.
Chill Nobody text line, 925. I'm going to give you two back-to-back. One, great point, Lo. I'm constituting as you speak. From the
sharing.
From the 707. This is the worst analogy I've ever heard. So we play to everybody.
Right,
we
right,
play to both
right.
sides of the spectrum. Kevin Durant's big night. He wasn't the only one, though. Boogie Cousins goes down. Bogut and Looney were outstanding last night. We got a ton to break down next. Joe Lo, Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, no fancy setup here because the argument already broke out before we were back from commercial break.
So
we're just going to bring you right into it. The Warriors defeat the Clippers 132-105 last night in Los Angeles. 2-1 series lead. Game 4 Sunday, 12:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. And a reminder, Warriors playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant was the story. The Warriors annihilating the Clippers was the story. The Warriors not being toilets, if you were with us in the last segment, somehow has made itself as part of the story. Tough to explain, but it's kind of, you know, par for the course with this show. Kevon Looney was outstanding last night. So was Andrew Bogut. Now, Boogie Cousins goes down, and we start to wonder how big of a concern is it going to be. Generally, that would have been the lead storyline coming off Monday's loss. But because they blew a 31-point lead, that's what we fixated on. Looney scores 10 points on 5 of 7 shooting. A rebound, a block, 17 minutes. Plus 11 in 17 minutes. His defense was outstanding. He's just ruthlessly efficient. For the series, Looney now has 35 points on 14 of 17 shooting in 53 minutes. So let me say that again without stumbling. 53 total minutes through three games. 14 of 17 from the floor, 35 points. Bogut last night, 8 points, 14 boards, 5 assists, plus 24 in 25 minutes. Now we'll talk specifically about those performances in a second, but now the focus is turning a bit to Kevon Looney. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming summer. So we all know about KD and Klay. But Looney's been playing well. He's headed for free agency. He going to get too pricey?
I don't know how pricey too pricey would be because the team does hold his bird rights. And I don't have all the details about the salary cap, but I know that they can offer him more money this summer than they could last summer because of those bird rights and not be hit underneath the cap. So how pricey is too pricey? If you're talking about another team breaking up in the Brinks truck for him, then yeah. But I don't think he's going to get that much more. I mean, he's still pretty limited as a player. He's had a nice series, don't get me wrong. And he's benefiting from playing with not four, but five All-Stars, maybe five Hall of Famers throughout the year. So I think he's benefiting from that. I wouldn't just go yet to an eight-figure salary or anything crazy.
Making $2.2 million this year, the Warriors definitely lucked out on that situation. How do you see the future playing out for Looney? Because you've been a big fan of his for a while.
Yeah, and me and Dibs, not in the same church. We're not in the same pew. We're not anywhere near each other.
We're done with that one. You guys are in different bathrooms, different stalls.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a bidet. He's in a trough.
Wow. I thought you okay.
Both can be useful at different times.
Yeah. If you bring the toilet analogy into the show and other people play with it, that's your problem if you don't like it.
Have fun. But my point to getting back up on as I digest, let me tell you something. You made those analogies about a beautiful sports car and all those different things.
Apparently it was too bourgeois for the text line, by the way. Oh, Joe speaks to the 1%. Low speaks for the common man.
And when that was an awesome text,
by the way. It's a great text.
And when you said you take it out to the track every now and then, pay the extra money and take it out to the track and open it up, what's the front thing you want to make sure that you have on that car before you take it out there and open it up and go around those corners?
Seatbelt, I'm guessing.
Tires.
Thank you.
Excuse me, stewardess. I speak low.
You better make
tires.
I'm
going to drive this thing to a track, pay money, and then I'm going to look down and go, oh, yeah, I do have the tires.
Better make sure you got them tires.
The assumption is that there are tires.
You make sure that they're good tires.
Quality.
If we're doing the F1 thing, you either go hard, medium, or soft, depending on if you want speed or duration.
Whether they're slicks or whatever they may be, you better make sure that they are the quality, because the speeds that you're going on, they're more important than a seatbelt. And so when you think about what it's saying, and so I'm making that statement, you're talking about, oh, well, he's playing with this great car, all those bells and whistles, all these five all-stars, but he's still a good tire. You talk about, oh, all these, there was a guy named that played with all-stars too. Not that many, but he went on and got 17 million a year. Didn't have this many all-stars on the team. And who am I talking about?
Daniel? Harrison Barnes.
That's another one, but let me tell you another one. Timothy Mozgov. Same type of position. Look at Timothy Mozgov. Went out and left and got paid. A role player, guy in and off the bench, in the starting lineup at times, went out and got paid. Looney, last year, set the stage and put himself on the scene. And this year, he's continuing saying, I'm still here, and I'm here for a while. I really believe that this is a guy now that moved past that threshold when you're talking about 3 and 4 million. No, he's going to get up there now. He's in that $8 to $15 million range, without a doubt.
Really?
You can lock it up, just like I've been locking up a lot of things. My locks have been pretty hot.
You've been hot. You've been running hot.
I've been running pretty hot.
You got a lot out there.
It is hot.
You got a lot out there. You're not the standard Ernest Hemingway type fisherman. You're like the crab fisherman up in the Arctic. You're throwing 50,000 steel traps out there, and you're bringing some stuff back. You're doing some good
fishing. A lot of full pots out there right now as he gets his pots back in, you know? You see when they bring them up to the boat and they lean it, and sometimes you get like eight crabs that come out. It's like, oh, those poor suckers.
The drama, how they build it up. It's like, please tell me this thing's full. Right, these guys got to get money back to their families.
Right. But I have a lot out there.
You're pulling a lot of crab lately, but I'll say this.
But this guy.
The ocean is bountiful.
It is, but this guy still, I got a big crab pot out there. I don't know if this crab going to jump in, because we got to talk about some money later on.
It's because.
What money you want to talk about?
Huh?
Go ahead.
You want to go to Europe?
Let's go.
You want to go to Europe? Are you going to?
Oh, you want to go back to that?
Yeah, later on.
All right, well, that was a football thing.
Okay,
we agreed that we would wait till a little thing called the draft happens. We're in April, so we're not going to go ahead and commit to football bets in April. However, as it pertains to this, and you bring up Timothy Mozgov.
I resent that, by the way. I think you can commit to football bets 365 days a year. You can always gamble.
Then go ahead and step up to the plate, and you can...
I got the freaking Bet 162 thing going
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
He's already
literally betting on every single Giants game.
I agree with you.
And shout out Reza for hitting a parlay, and we'll try to bring him back here in 3 hours, and you can apologize to Reza.
If anyone knows Reza, or if Reza's listening, Reza, call back today. I'd like to apologize and bring you back on. Your parlay did hit, so we want to bring you back on the show. Reza, 9:45 today for Bet 162.
Renstradamus yesterday, because he nailed his little Nationals parlay. But I digress, as I'm getting serious here, Lo. The problem with your analogy, Timothy Mozgov, is it's one of the worst contracts in the history of the association. 4 years and $64 million. And it's because of contracts like the one that Mozgov got that a player like Kevon Looney, he's not getting $8 to $12 million. You were wrong last year. You're going to be wrong again this year. He's a $4 to $6 million player at most. He's unbelievably reliable for this team because of what they ask him to do. If you go out and pay him Mozgov money, all of a sudden now you're looking for him to get you 16 and 11. He's not that kind of guy.
You know what's
but
crazy?
But has he ever been put in a situation where he's had the chance to be that kind of guy?
UCLA, and he was unable to do so, and. I think you look at what he's done with his game. He's developing
else.
A little bit of a mid-range jump shot. He's actually shooting the ball away from the rim. He's making nice improvements. But when you talk about $8 to $12 million, you don't have your finger on the pulse of the association.
Let me tell you why he doesn't have his finger on the pulse really quick, Joe. And it's interesting because you're an official. You say you know basketball and all these things. There's a guy on this team that's an all-star. And we know his defense prowess, all this stuff. And that's, you know who, Draymond Green. He's not going to score you 15, 16, and 20, all those different things. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's relative. He's not necessarily a max player, but he's a guy going to get $25 to $30 some million. He's not going to get no $15 million. So when you think about the skew that I'm talking about, the scale,
this
that
is totally on, irrelevant. You're comparing Draymond Green to Kevon Looney. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so if
Draymond, it's laughable.
If Draymond Green's going to get from $25 to $30 some million, and Looney is in a situation from 8 to 15, isn't that relative to where the max players are, where that middle players and then this tier?
It is all relative, but he's not going to get that much.
Let it marinate.
Draymond is not.
And I like Looney, by the way.
Marinate. I was thinking Kelenna. A combination Kevon Looney, Kelenna, Looney.
Ooh, man. Yeah, who ends up having a better career, Kelenna or Looney?
Another guy you was on, too.
What does that mean?
The guy he's been saying didn't get a max, Clay. You on that one, too?
All right. End of segment. You can't. You
I said he wouldn't
fire
get a max.
Off shots at the buzzer there.
You shut up.
Shut up.
John Dickinson.
I don't shut up. I look at you.
In
I throw
Los
up.
Los Angeles to break down last night's game. But most importantly, is the NBA going to rescind that technical Kevin Durant received in the second half? That was absurd. It was absolutely absurd. We'll get Dibs' take on it. We'll talk to JD about that as well. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To the city of Los Angeles we go. 95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson joining Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JD, it sounded very quiet at Staples Center last night. The Warriors came out firing. Was the crowd ever in that game at any point?
Yeah, leading up to tip-off, there was an actual buzz in that building that I don't think I've ever heard for a Clippers game in the 4 or 5 years that I've been regularly going down there to cover Warriors games. Now, the Lakers, there's always a buzz, even when they stink. And there's been a couple of games that have been pretty hyped between those two teams the last few years. But for a Clippers game, there actually was a buzz, but it was just completely quieted by Kevin Durant early in the game. And I also thought the way the game was officiated, not saying that it benefited one team or the other, but just the tightness of the officiating fouls both ways and a whole lot of them just kind of wrecked the flow early in the game. And I think it took a lot of the emotion out of the building, but nothing takes the emotion out of the building like the visiting team just putting it on the home team early, and that's what Kevin Durant and the Warriors were able to do.
Kevin Durant became the buzz kill, essentially, and Draymond talked about him being in kill mode after the game. Could you see that even from warmups, JD, that Kevin Durant was going to come out and really show everyone that y'all know who I am, I'm KD?
Yeah, I mean, you thought it was coming, but you really didn't know. And I thought the Warriors were at a little bit of a crossroads going into the game last night, just given the nature of the way Monday night's game two ended. And, you know, every time this team takes a loss, you start to look around and there's, you know, questions about body language. And you just start wondering if they like each other or not anymore, or they're going to have enough resolve to stay together for these last couple of months to finish off this run and get the three-peat and the fourth championship in 5 years. So, yeah, you had a sense that Durant, the player, was going to come out and bounce back. But you also just kind of wondered, what if he doesn't? What if he comes out and he shoots it 30 times and he has a rough game and maybe they lose? And then the questions are, well, you shot it 30 times. What went wrong? And he gets frustrated about that. But, no, he's too good. He's too talented, and the reality is the Clippers, for as much conversation as there's been about Patrick Beverley slowing him down, the Clippers really have no answer because nobody has an answer for Kevin Durant when he is as aggressive as he was early in that game, and he set the tone, and the tone translated to energy and defense, and it wound up being a relatively easy Warriors victory.
Steph gets in early foul trouble. McKinney comes in. I think he does a great job. Why did Kerr decide to go with him and Cook? Was it because of his rebound paralysis? What do you like about this young man? Because it seemed like yesterday, defensive-wise and rebound-wise, looked like pretty good.
Yeah, it's just a difference in playing styles. I mean, McKinney is a defender. He's a rebounder. He's a better athlete. He's taller. And Quinn Cook, when he's been inserted into the game in this series, things have quickly turned. He becomes someone that the Clippers can attack and go after and get into a little bit of a flow offensively themselves. So, no, McKinney is just a player that brings something different to the table, and I think you could make the case that when the Warriors and because the Warriors are so talented, when the Warriors have other all-star players on the floor, McKinney is the better fit because he doesn't typically get himself embarrassed on the defensive end. He can create extra possessions with his offensive rebounding. He's just a longer, taller, more athletic body that can just fly around and get in the way on defense of what the Clippers are trying to do. So, yeah, it's strictly, do you want an offensive player out there? Do you want a defensive player out there? Quinn Cook, obviously more of a ball handler, not a true point guard, but somebody that can handle it more like a point guard. But, no, it really is. Do you want your offensive specialist or your defensive specialist? Kerr went with more of a defensive specialist last night.
John Dickinson from Los Angeles joining us here on 95.7 The Game. What's the sense regarding the technical foul Kevin Durant picked up in the third quarter last night? Seemed a bit absurd. Do you think the NBA rescinds it?
Pretty weak both ways, just two guys talking. I do think the NBA will rescind it because the league does understand that, you know, one of the stars and a star that could be playing well into the middle of June as the Warriors try and win another championship, you know, you don't want him having to eventually sit out a game because of a cheapie. And I think that was definitely a cheapie both ways. I mean, it's the playoffs for crying out loud, and you got two guys jawing, but they're jawing and they're kind of smiling, and it's just part of the game. But last night was just, you know, Dibs used the term buzzkill. I mean, it just, I thought the officials really put a buzzkill on the game, unfortunately. And I think that the double technical is a perfect example of that. It's almost as if the league told Scott Foster, go in there, call a million fouls, and not let anybody, you know, really get after each other. And it just, I thought it zapped all of the emotion out of the building. I think the technical foul exemplifies that, and I do expect it to be rescinded.
Jason Phillips calling the double tech there in that moment. But, yeah, Scott Foster, the lead official, on
I'm talking generally.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Generally throughout the night.
We talked about it earlier, though, JD. It's a tough series to officiate, especially when you have a player like Patrick Beverley playing the way he does and Kevin Durant. And quite frankly, you look at some of the screens the Warriors set, the whistle really can determine a lot in these games based on how tight they're going to call the moving screen and how tight they're going to call people when they're clutching and grabbing Steph or KD.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, Doc Rivers referenced it in the post-game press conference on the Clippers side. You know, he said at one point early in the game, one of the assistant coaches had come up to him and said, well, they're calling it tight. I think this benefits us, talking about the Clippers. And Doc was quick to say, no. We've been the more physical team. This is not good. This is not good for us if they're going to call the game tightly. And he felt also in conjunction with that the Warriors were the more physical team in the game last night. But to your point, Dibs, I mean, some nights, one team does get maybe a slight benefit here or there. But again, I thought the Warriors were the more aggressive team overall, and that probably is why, you know, the whistle maybe leaned a little bit in their favor. But when you look at the total in terms of fouls and all that kind of stuff, you know, Curry had two and Durant was in foul trouble too. So it was pretty even. It was just wrecking of the flow, which is unfortunate.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson live from Los Angeles joining us here on 95.7 The Game. JD, we know it's early, but we appreciate you getting up for us. Thank you very much.
Always good to be with you guys.
All right. John Dickinson live from LA. Doc Rivers, it turns out that $2,000 he dropped on the street here in San Francisco that someone gave back to him inexplicably, that's his per diem. He was talking to the media. That's his per diem. Who gets $2,000 as a per diem?
Man, that's the good life right there. $2,000 per diem. And you got all kinds of like $5 footlongs, and you got burrito bowl for $9. You can get a lot of stuff.
I'm going to say false.
What if it's, and then Joe and I were kind of getting into this before the show.
I think that he's,
we were trying to break this down. Is it per day? Is it per game?
What if it was 4 days worth of per diem?
Because 500 per day.
You're coming up here for two games, so when you get off the bus from the airport and you get your per diem and he gives you $2,000 because that's 4 days worth, or is that still, would you say too much? $500 a day, is that more than a per diem would be at this level, as we like to say? Even if it was 4 days worth?
I got to make some calls because that's very, 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 very rich.
Well, why would he lie?
I think that he was maybe going to the local gentleman club, and he might want to look and see some bands that make you dance. $2,000 for it might, maybe four. I'm just telling you. That's I don't know.
Like, what would you get in the NFL, like toward the end of your career, which is now quietly, 12 years ago?
Does it matter what year you are in your career for your per diem, or does everyone get the same?
It goes up within. It goes up. No.
Everyone gets the same. Yeah.
I was talking about it goes up over years, inflation and all that stuff. It goes with the. But yeah, everyone gets the same. At that time, it was like friggin' $50 per meal. So you know, 3 meals, you'd get darn near $150.
They would hand you $150 when you would leave to travel for a road game.
Yeah, they'll give it to you.
You only get it for road games?
On road games.
Okay.
Exactly. So I'm looking at that, and let's just say
you're feeling
it's going
like
up.
You've been cheated. Yeah, old Glenn Rivers out there getting dimes.
No, but let's just
fullback's getting $50.
But let's just say they're giving you $100 a meal. That still wouldn't do it. That's too much money.
But even for 4 days, because I mean that'd be $300 a day times four. That'd be $1,200 at least.
Put it in the crock pot. Let it simmer. We'll see if we can come back and figure it out. We've also got to get to this KD Tech situation. I want to see where Dibs is at. Ticky tack. I think we all know that was ticky tack last night for both of them. Not just for Kevin Durant. That's got to be rescinded. Okay. We're gonna break that down for you next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. Great to have you with us. Gary St. Jean at 8:30, Tim Roy at 9:35. We are efforting Mike Breen, who said he's going to come on the program today, which would be outstanding to talk to Mike Breen, one of the great basketball minds out there, one of the great broadcasters out there. Might be coming up as early as 10 minutes from now, might be later in the show. Stick with us. We'll keep you updated on that. Warriors boat the Los Angeles Clippers by a final score of 132-105, restoring order in the universe by taking a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 Sunday, 12:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Durant has a monster night. We'll get into that. Looney, Bogut play a huge role. We'll get into that. Right now, we haven't touched on this yet, though. Kevin Durant picks up a technical last night in the third quarter. He took an offensive foul against Jamichael Green. The two started talking to one another. It seemed like there was maybe a little bit of animosity because it's the heat of the moment sort of thing, but they weren't really up in each other's face. There was no threat of it becoming physical. Durant says they were just discussing a previous play. Whether or not that's true, it wasn't that aggressive, right? It may have been voices raised, but it wasn't that aggressive in the grand scheme of things. And just out of left field, I don't know which of the officials it was. I personally don't care. Comes over and texts both of them up. And you can tell both of them look at the ref with this incredulous open mouth stare that they had gotten hit for a technical for something that I feel, and I believe many feel, was so weak. Now, I'll turn it over to you. I'm not trying to play the role of Homer here. I do feel there are times technicals should be issued. I don't feel that was one of them.
No, it was a weak tee. And it's Jason Phillips. He's a veteran official, and he came in, and you could even see the way he gave him the tee. It was the most gentle technical foul ever issued. He gets in both players' eye line and just gives them the quiet two-finger tee. I think that he even, in the moment, kind of felt like there was some regret there. It wasn't an emotional, like, we saw Zach Zarba when it was, boom, both of you are gone. TT, double gone. This was almost a regrettable tee, and I think that they both will be rescinded, and that we'll find out today.
So. All right.
Yeah, today the word will come out. It probably won't happen during our show, but keep your eyes and keep your ears locked to 95.7 The Game. When it gets rescinded, we'll have that news first.
That game started with so many whistles last night, and I get that the refs are trying to make sure that they send a message, that this game will not get out of order, that we will call you if we need to. So you better learn early, and we're calling it on both of you. But they kept breaking up the flow. It was just whistle after whistle. Then you have these texts, and if you rescind them, great. Great. Understand if you make a mistake and try to rectify it. That's fine. That's how we should all be trying to live. But the NBA needs to take a page out of the NFL's playbook. Just go watch the end of the NFC Championship game. People are not happy. And I'm not just talking Saints fans. People are not happy with the way that played out. It's still a thing. All right? Do not let the officiating become the primary story. because no one likes that story. No one gets behind that story. It's a story that can draw eyeballs and ears, but you never look back in time and say, hey, remember the Fail Mary in Seattle on Monday night against the Packers? That was awesome. No, it wasn't. I won money because of that play, and I still don't think it was awesome. It was so stupid that there were replacement officials out there to begin with. But by and large, officiating cannot be an A1 storyline. Learn from what the NFL had go wrong in New Orleans and fix it, because no one wants to watch the Warriors without Durant. I'll be completely honest. Oh, you're just a homer. I don't want James Harden getting suspended. When the Rockets and the Warriors meet each other, I want Harden out there. I want to see Harden. I want to see Dame Lillard. I want to see Joel Embiid. All the stars in the NBA, I want to see them on the court. Running these guys out because of technicals, it's bad for business. So keep it in your pants. Throttle back. Let them stay on the court.
When Shaq played, what made Shaq such a great player and such a dominant player?
His
physicality and how big he was. And that's what made him just unstoppable. Guys would hit him and hack a Shaq, do all those different things. Why? Because they could not stop him underneath there. And there was no whistles. There was no whistles. The refs never called it because of the fact they knew that his size advantage, he could still power and muscles weight to the underneath the hoop, and no one could do anything. It's the same thing. I think that if now was the tech needed? No. I think that both those technicals will be rescinded. But with KD, he's not like Shaq. He doesn't have that in stature. Those guys can get up and hold their arms out and hold him and contain him because he's not that physical. You saw him trying to grab guys a couple of days ago, and they were calling him fouls. Last night, they wouldn't have. So I think that for certain guys and certain things, you do have to call fouls because of the fact their body style and who they are and what they bring. And if you want them to play at a level that we like to see KD play at times you do need a ref that's going to understand the importance of letting this guy play freely. And if I got guys that's holding him underneath him, I got to make those calls. It may look ticky, it may look tacky, but it stops him from being who he is. And last night was one of those things that they were calling, blowing the whistle, and they called him on both sides. The whistle, they were quick with the whistle. I think the text definitely be rescinded, but I just think for certain players and certain styles, officials understand who they are.
And when you have a Clipper team playing as physically as they are and the Warriors are playing physical as well on the defensive end, you're going to have to call a lot more fouls than you normally would. They called 14 in the first quarter, which of course is going to lead to it being much more of a choppy game. Everyone wants a free-flowing game, up and down, shooting threes, fast breaks, dunks. That's just not the nature of playoff basketball. And when you have a player like Patrick Beverley, who you know is going to be up in you, and oh, by the way, the Warriors last night decided that they wanted to play defense as well. They know that, especially in the first quarter, if they come out and play focused on defense, it's going to lead to offense. Joe, you gave the stat earlier that they're averaging an 11-point margin per game in just the first quarter, which is mind-blowing.
Plus 34 through three
games. So 11.3 even.
Yeah, crushing them.
And it all starts for them on the defensive end. So when they're playing intense defense and they're playing physically, the refs are going to have to call more fouls. And I'm glad that you said so eloquently that you thought that it was refereed evenly, that they were calling it on both sides. It's almost an admission that the refs did a good job.
Well, it's almost
an admission. You're coming
around. It's almost an admission that you said last night that you also came back and said those technicals shouldn't have been warranted. So you're coming around as well. As I digest, I look at this situation. You think, okay, how did the Warriors get in this situation? It is because of defense, and they are a dominant team when they play defense. But everyone's with the defense. But where does it stem? It's mental. It's when you play in sports, no matter what, how good. And KD last night mentally said, my mind is made up, my heart is fixed, and I got one thing on my mind, and that's to destroy. When you play like that in a defense,
she can destroy.
Absolutely. And the whole team was locked in. And Steve Kerr, we haven't even talked about Steve Kerr. What a masterful job he did last night to stop every time the Clippers would try a little run. Nope, not doing that. Call timeout, and he would focus those guys mentally. Come on, guys. We can't be sloppy with the ball. He would call timeout, and you would see the re-engagement. He did a great job, too, with game management, I thought, as well.
Not just that. Durant picked up a couple fouls early in the first, and Curry had a couple fouls as well, and he could have yanked him out of the game. He could have. He even had the conversation with Durant where you couldn't see what they were saying, but Durant starts pointing to his mind as in like, I'm going to keep my eye, don't worry, I'm going to be on top of it, and went out there and stayed hot. Because you got a tough decision. There were two fouls in this game. Durant shooting. He's doing exactly what you want him to do. He's producing. That lets everyone else play defense. Yeah. The focal point's there, but with two fouls, do you yank him or not? Generally, you do. Kerr let him roll the dice.
Let him roll it.
He knocked down a few more buckets. The offense kept cooking. They got towards the end of the first. He yanked him out for some rest. Everything was fine. He had a couple dicey decisions he had to make early in that game, and he made the right call in both scenarios.
Well, in that one with Kevin Durant, you absolutely have to leave him out there because you can't go through a couple of off days saying, I need Kevin Durant to shoot more 20 to 30 times, and then as soon as he gets a little bit of foul trouble, and two fouls in the first quarter is just a little bit of foul trouble. It's not three. It's not four in the first half. Yes, you do have to leave him in low because he was imposing his will on the game. He was playing the way you wanted him to play. So when you get a couple quick fouls and he comes over and says, I'll be smart, I won't commit to third, you absolutely have to leave him in the game. And that's just coaching 101.
Well, you didn't bring that up earlier, so I don't know if you have to leave him in the game. I'm glad that we see that it worked out.
When could I have brought that up earlier?
Well, it's
was there a juncture where I turned down that opportunity to bring that up?
It is a radio show.
And we've been talking about a number of other things.
That we have. I brought it up.
Other things I haven't brought up, which will be brought up later.
As I digest, reel it back in.
I was coming back.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Don't lie to me, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to bring it back.
Reel it in, Fisherman.
You're letting him distract you again. He is Patrick Beverly-ing you, and you're going for it.
No.
Yes, yes, yes.
The reason why I brought that up, because there are certain times in games that you sit and you watch, and you're like, there's that moment. There's a defining moment. And that's why I look at Steve Kerr, the way that he was doing things, leaving KD, pulling Steph, certain things that he was doing. I thought that was a very, very critical that the head coach understood not just game flow, but tempo and also the guys that he had on the floor. Because he did that, other guys were able to continue lockdown defense and let KD impose his will. But if he would have pulled him, was the outcome would have been the same as far as them winning this game? Absolutely. Would it have been as much? Don't know about that. But this is a far better team no matter what. We know that.
But he knew it wasn't just about the fouls. It was about the mindset. You had spent a day and a half trying to motivate him through the media by saying, take 20, take 30. Draymond was out there. Not my job to motivate him. Everyone was doing everything they needed to say to put him, to prime his mind to be aggressive in that game. So the second he goes out there and does exactly what you've been trying to get him to do, you can't yank him out. If he's got two fouls, you can't pull him out of the game. You can't say, it's going the way we wanted, but it's unfortunate. No. You got to let it go. This is what you wanted. You wanted him to get aggressive. He's being aggressive. He's playing at a super high level. He looks fantastic. Let it go. You got plenty of other stars. Klay Thompson can start knocking down some shots anytime he wants. All right? He's shooting, 44%? Another night last night where he couldn't really get it going. The Claymaker game is coming. But for right now, if you need to defer, someone else can knock down some shots. This isn't Brooklyn. Anyone watch Brooklyn last night? If D'Angelo Russell isn't scoring, they're done. They're cooked. It's over. They have a bunch of bums surrounding one kid. And if the kid leaves the court, it's over for the Nets. They cannot fool. They don't know what they're doing. It takes 16 seconds before they even decide they want to start getting into their play. The Warriors, if one guy's in foul trouble, they've got plenty of other guys who can pick it up. Now, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mike Breen is going to join us 1 hour from now at 8 o'clock, Gary St. Jean at 8:30, Tim Roy at 9:35. The topic of conversation, it's an obvious one. Warriors 132, Clippers 105 as Golden State takes a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 Sunday, 12:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Balance has been restored. The Warriors are back on top. We can go from panic to arrogance. And when they lose again at some point, we'll go back to panic. But for right now, arrogance. Because that's really the only two gears we know.
Yeah, and now you look at Game 4 against L.A. and you figure, man, how much are they going to win by in this game? 15, 20, 25. This series is already over. So now you think about Houston and your attention goes in that direction. You start to pay more close attention to the Rockets and you try to see what they're doing because the mindset is that this series is largely over. You think about what the Clippers could possibly do to impose their will and win another game in the series over 48 minutes, and I can't find the formula. You saw what they did in game two coming back from 31 down, and that was as much about a letdown as it was them playing great. You just can't imagine, I can't imagine a scenario where they do that for 48 minutes in game four and certainly not in game five.
Let me throw it to both of you right now because it's today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet, the website 957thegame.com. Will the Warriors close this series out in five games? Yes, no. Simple enough. And I'm being really detailed because I forgot to email it to Anna to put up, and I realize she's writing it down now.
Yes, I am.
So I apologize for that laziness. Will the Warriors close this series out in five games?
Yes, and I've said it all along. I was a Warriors in five guy from the start. So for me to switch my opinion would reek of flounder fish. And it smells like fish in here for some reason, and maybe it's because we're about to get served a healthy plate of flounder here, Lo.
I have to ask you the question of whether or not you think they'll close it out in five. I don't have to add all the other stuff. I just want to make sure.
I didn't have to either.
You don't think we're associated with one another. I'm just asking you the simple part of the question.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because it says you'll be associated with flounderfish. It could still go six. It could still go seven. It's not a matter of flounderfish. The fact is they lost the game. That's a fact. So they lost. So it still could be six, seven. But no, they will close it out in five. So I think it has nothing to do with the flounderfish. I think that you just,
well, like a grouper.
Yeah. Oh, red snapper, maybe.
Like group think. Grouper. Yeah. Yeah. Fish and chips, apparently, is being served. But
cod.
Please continue.
How about a nice cod?
I had some cod the other night. I fried it up. It was unbelievable.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.